Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Mr. Pick Me and the Man Hater Show. I'm Reagan, aka the Man Hater, even though I don't hate men. And you are?
Hello?
What?
Just kidding. I'm Jesco. Acting. I did get you, though. I did get you.
I love that your thought process is, what would be really good for a podcast is acting like our equipment is not working.
I think the people who get it. And the people that don't will just stop listening after this show. My name is Jesco. I am known on this podcast as Mr. Pick Me, even though I've already been picked.
Welcome to the show.
Welcome to the show. Here we go. Go. No, I'm not going to freestyle
don't
again.
Don't do
that
it.
Was, that was one time.
People did like your rap. You got you did. Some good
is that
reviews.
New theme song?
No.
I mean, I know we have an actual professional rapper with albums that I got to make our current
I
one.
I don't know if I could stand editing week after week.
My name is Jesco, and I'm here to
say. Here is Reagan, hating the man.
I don't remember what I said because I just made it up on the spot. That time.
It was something like that.
It was good. It was good. It was solid. And if I try it again, it won't be as good. It won't.
That's
and so
true.
I have to leave people thinking I'm capable of doing that whenever I want.
Rapping?
Yeah, freestyling.
Are you? Give us another freestyle.
I don't want, no, I want to leave, I want people, that's good for the Patreon.
No, it's not. You didn't rap on the Patreon.
Next week's Patreon, I will genuinely try to make a freestyle rap based on
okay.
their suggestions.
Everyone,
I won't read the comments.
We will go ahead and put this in the long list of things Jesco promises and never does.
Eventually, I'm going to watch Happy Gilmore 2.
I know. I was going to say, how's Happy Gilmore 2? How was your viewing?
I haven't seen it.
He was like, okay, I'm going to watch it and we're going to do a full pre-show review. Mm-hmm. Did you watch it?
Did not. Still haven't. I have started watching Strange New Worlds, which, by the way, I'm in season 2.
What is that?
Star Trek. It's like Captain Pike before Enterprise, before Kirk. It's very good. If any other Trekkies are our followers, I'm one of you. Been going to Star Trek conventions since I was a little boy.
I'm one of you.
And I love Star Trek. Star Trek is my of all the sci-fi franchises. I think
I love Star Trek.
The best.
Old school Star Trek I really loved. I watched that with my dad.
Yeah.
I do love it.
Wait, like original or TNG?
Mm-hmm.
Original, okay.
Original Star Trek, yeah.
Okay. Next Generation was my jam. I used
really?
To watch it with my mom. Oh,
nice.
So good. And Deep Space Nine. Deep Space Nine was really good. That's a really underrated franchise. Voyager was good at the beginning and the end. I'm sad it ended.
The middle was not good. Is that
middle,
what you're saying?
I don't remember. I have to rewatch it. I don't remember the middle being well done. I think she was great. Like
yeah.
I think Janeway is one of the best captains in the history of I think she just played that so good. I felt like here, a good example. Doctor Who. Right. Mm-hmm. That's right there with it. It's like I go back and forth, Star Trek and Doctor Who. Depending on like there's certain doctors like David Tennant's one of my favorite doctors. Like I don't think Russell T. Davies is a great writer. I think he comes up with I'm pissing something. This is gonna make some people very angry if we're a very specific audience. I think Russell T. Davies comes up with great ideas for stories, and then it's fun to watch, but I would not call his stories good. Like well written, and I'm versus like Moffat. I know has some issues, but he was a fantastic writer, and so you can see the transition from Russell T. Davies to Stephen Moffat because it's like, oh, these stories actually are fully fleshed out.
And they're going somewhere.
They're going somewhere. They're not just. It's not just a lot of what's the term for when the solution just comes out of nowhere? Oh my God, bootstrap paradox. Is that the word I'm looking for?
Bootstrap paradox? I don't know that I've heard that before.
Hold on. Let me make sure I am not just talking out of my
rear
tush. Oh, no. That's a completely different thing. hold on. Let me look up.
What's a bootstrap paradox?
Bootstrap paradox is when it's kind of the, it actually.
Are you talking about the Ex Machina? Is that what you're looking for?
Yeah, Deuce, there you go. That's what I'm thinking of. Where it's like the solution is just kind of like created out of scratch. It's like, all right, Well, we are 3/4 of the way through this. They're in an impossible situation. How are they going to fix it?
Mm-hmm.
Here's this thing that had
this
nothing
thing
to
appeared.
Do with any of the build in this episode that just happens to solve it. That is like Russell T. Davies. People can shit on me and be mad at me because I can't stress this enough. I fucking love Doctor Who. I just don't think Russell T. Davies is the best writer. I think
and
he's
you know
very
what?
Good at ideas.
You have the right to your opinion, Chester.
I have the right.
Unless it's about Taylor Swift. And then the internet will kill you.
Reagan, no, don't do it. Oh, no. Our podcast just explodes.
80,000 white women appear behind you. There's somebody
at your window. Reagan, they found you. This isn't even on the internet yet.
Oh, man.
So what are we learning? What are we talking about today, Reagan?
Not Taylor Swift, I can guarantee you that.
No.
What we're talking about today, there was a woman who posted a story about her husband and a quote-unquote surprise cruise that people have a lot of questions about.
Theme song?
Yes.
You want bad advice, man? I'll give it out gladly. I got some good advice for
you. No, you don't.
Shit. This is one of the few episodes where I have no idea what video we're responding to yet. And so mm-hmm. I get to be the one that is, and maybe it's a made up person. Like what happened to me? Maybe for once you'll be the victim of.
I can't get over.
No
when it was
good nicks.
When it was clearly one of his buddies being like, oh, hi, it's me, the wife character.
Listen, I don't know what to tell you. The internet, and it's, I can't even blame, like, AI is getting really good. It wasn't even that. You want to see me? If any of you are a Patreon member, we posted my fuck up on the Patreon for everybody. And it is,
it's so good.
I do look as bad as I was hoping or worried about. So it's great. Anyways.
Oh, man. Anywho, this is for reals, I think, because there's been follow-ups.
God, the internet is just full of so much fake stuff right now, and it's still so clearly fake to me, though. Like, how are people still?
Because, people are moving weird. Have you seen the one where they're on, like, a train or a bus, and she's like, this is my husband.
Mm-mm.
It's a black woman and a white guy, and he's like, oh, what? That mm-hmm. one is AI, and that one fooled a lot.
That one does look pretty, and that one does look.
That one's pretty clean.
Of the ones, because it's not like unbelievable that could happen. Also,
I saw mm-hmm. choked to death. Mm-hmm. I saw one where like this guy was proposing to a woman, and there's like a raccoon or a possum crawling across a board, and then it drops on him, and he's like, "Oh my god, there's a." It's a possum on me. And she's like, oh, no. But I was like, that's
I think
not
what makes me upset, though, is
not real.
Everyone's so scared that things are AI now because it's getting so, mm-hmm. like, realistic that, like, I'll still, to this day now, whenever – I think I've done a pretty good job of like, getting my – like, the stuff I film with my nicer camera to look just like me now. Mm-hmm. But still, anytime I film something on it, they are like – AI! It's AI! I'm like, why? Why would that be AI? Why would I use that for AI?
This listeners, this beef has become personal for Chesco because ever since he's gotten his new camera, he has had wild accusations of him being AI. Didn't someone contact you and like, someone's making AI videos of you?
Yeah,
like,
they're really upset at me. I'm like, it's me,
Jessica! I had one time that I made a video and TikTok put like made by AI underneath it. And I still to this day, I'm like, what?
What?
That was just me in my office.
Yeah.
And no AI.
I get that it doesn't look although I bought a new lens. So we're going to see how this works. Somebody said it was just really weird seeing my ears. like you could tell I had ears in it because normally you can't hear it. Like, whoa, still nothing there. Like you can't tell that my ears are there. But if I'm on for those of you that don't know how camera lenses work, the higher or the lens gets like 35, 50, 85 millimeter, et cetera, the more you can see the person's full head, right? Mm-hmm. And so a fisheye lens is going to like, which is what most cameras and webcams are, makes your head mm-hmm. look a little distorted. And so most people still, you can see their ears. I have very aerodynamic ears. And so mine disappear.
I have aerodynamic
that's, ears. Yes. If I was a swimmer, I'd be unstoppable.
Michael Phelps.
Yes. I mean, aside from the fact that I don't have the ability to swim or muscles or any of the other things, but the ear factor would not be playing a role.
It's a game changer. That's the number one thing you need. I've read that before. Well.
They would ban me from the Olympics for having performance enhancing ears.
Yeah, they wouldn't let Michael Phelps swim if that was the case because he's got all those like crazy things.
Weird mutations that make him like.
He was made in a lab, I'm pretty sure. Just kidding, Michael Phelps. I had a crush on Michael Phelps. I got to be honest with you. I had a magnet of him in my locker in middle school.
There is a thing about being, because I understand this, like being attracted to people that are really good at something.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like when somebody mm-hmm. is like really good at something, even if they're mm-hmm. not traditionally attracted, I hate that, like it's a weird conversation to have, right, about attraction. Mm-hmm. But like even when they're not traditionally a what society would tell us is a good looking person, mm-hmm. but they're really fucking good at something, like acting mm-hmm. for me. Is always like if somebody is like killing it, I'm like, mm-hmm. you are the best looking person in the world. Like, what is going on? And when I saw my wife singing the first time, I was just like, you were the most beautiful. I mean, she is the most beautiful woman, but
very beautiful.
She's beautiful. But so, like, but it was the combination of those things.
And then right? it takes it to a 10.
And it was like, I was like, I get to be with you? What is happening? This is the best.
Are we sure that you like me?
Do you want to be with me? Like, is this allowed?
You can opt out. See this
and be like, what's going on here?
That's how I feel about my wife. I think people thought I was being catfished for a long time because she's mm-hmm. very she's an introvert. And so people would only see her photo. And I think people were like, oh, hun, you're not talking to that person.
It's not actually her.
Or like, this is my girlfriend from Canada.
Yeah.
She's real, everyone. I can't prove it because she doesn't come on camera, but.
We talk, we don't ever video FaceTime, but we talk on the phone a lot.
She has a man's voice, but.
It's weird. Like, she doesn't sound like how you'd think she would sound. It sounds like a guy pretending to be his wife on camera.
Speaking of acting and. Maybe some deception, maybe lies, maybe not. I just want you to listen to the video. What?
Someone said, because this is a perfect place to interject here. Someone wrote that they like listening to our podcast because you just never know where it's going. Like it's just, I don't remember the exact comment, but it was like, you'll be in the middle of a serious discussion and then over here, and then you'll go 20 feet the left way, and then you'll be discussing something entirely that has nothing to do with what you were just into. And then maybe 20 minutes later, you'll get back to the discussion you were having. But who knows? Who cares? She's like, this is like an ADHD fever dream that is our podcast. And I do kind of
love
that.
It's so true. Every conversation you and I have is like, because we'll say a story, and then it'll remind the other one of a story, which will remind the other one of a different story. Mm-hmm. Oh, God.
And it is something. If we ever, I feel like the problem is at this point, if we ever decided to like really strategize and organize a show, then a lot of our like most faithful listeners would be like, what the fuck is this?
Why is there a structure?
Why are you like staying on theme?
Were you on topic for this?
Right. Ugh. Disgusting.
All right. Speaking of on topic, let's get on it. So here is her story. I just want your thoughts about how you feel just about this little tale. I'd love a man's perspective, which is not something I say all the time.
So it's my husband's birthday today, and got all my little decorations from Amazon, and his staff calls. He has 3 tickets to go on a cruise to Mexico, leaving today. 5-day cruise, and they leave from Long Beach at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. So he asks him, does he want the tickets? We got 4 kids. I, for one, cannot go. I have a job and I got children. I'm thinking that he's going to tell his dad no because of said 4 children. No. He's scrambling around looking for his birth certificate so he can go on said 5-day cruise. I'm not saying anything, but let's just see how this goes. I'm supposed to pick up the birthday cake at 2 o'clock as well.
While I'm processing the whole situation, I would say like stuff like this has happened, not a 5-day cruise, but like where like I'll get invited on a trip somewhere, or I'll get like sure. something that'll come up for things. And the first thing I do is think about like, how is this possible? How is this going to affect the family, right? Is this, what do we need to do to make sure this is the case? I never take, and this is one thing I've missed out on some amazing opportunities because of the fact that it'll be like, hey, tonight, can you go to the, can we fly you out to like Washington, DC? Can we fly you out to this thing? And I'm like, that sounds amazing. I can't. Like, there's no way I could do, even if it's like just too close to something. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I don't know if it's like, I feel like that's what you're supposed to do in a relationship, especially when you have young kids together, is you, before you make a decision, you have a conversation with your partner about it and see if it is something. And there've been some times where my wife will be like, no, you fucking have to do this. Like you're going to do this. I'm like, oh, I don't know. And she'll make me do certain things. But like, I think that's the exception when your partner's like, No, you have to do this. How are you going to turn that down? No, go for it. Please. I'll figure it out. That's when it's okay. That's my first initial response.
That is a very good response if you believe that that is what happened. Most of the internet does not believe this unfolded the way that she was told this unfolded. So
okay.
He is saying that his father had tickets, which, if you know cruises, like, we're talking passports.
I don't know cruises, by the way. So, never been on a cruise, never will plan on going on a cruise.
We're going out of the country. So these things are like booked way in advance. Like there are names on tickets. You have to like send stuff in. Like it is a long process to get that all figured out. There is, by most people's accounts, no world in which the day of, you can just change the name of 3 tickets.
Okay.
So most people think that this is a trip that's been planned way in advance, and he knew she might not say yes to it. So he's pretending.
So it's way worse.
Yes. Well, there's actually a third level. Let's talk about that level. So let's say he's lying about the time of this because he goes. Like he goes after this. He does go on the trip. What are your thoughts?
I mean, it sounds real shitty. I'm waiting for the other layer. I'm like, I don't know what is going to catch me. Like I don't know. I think when you're in a relationship, and especially when you bring children into it, there and also there are certain sacrifices you have to make. Like I would my wife just went on a 6-day trip. It was for her high school reunion, and then she visited one of her close friends in the area. We planned that out like months in advance, right? It was because it's a big, when you have kids that are relying on you, and it wasn't because she had to prepare anything for the trip, right? You know, where our marriage and our family is, right? She prepared for her own trip and I took care of the rest of the house when she was gone. That's what you do in general when you're planning something, is I think you just have to accept that. And sometimes that's not possible. There's lots of cool stuff that comes up that you just can't do because it would be too much of a hindrance on the family.
I agree. I also, I guess if you're wanting me to tell you the other layer, a majority of the internet thinks there's another woman that's going on this cruise with him.
Ooh. Well.
Yeah.
Yeah, three tickets is also odd. Like, who are the other two tickets for? Like, yeah. Do we have any information about?
No. And then it's like, well, who are you going with?
Right.
And then also, if you're going with three people, what happened to those people? Like, all of a sudden they can't go? The day of, you figure it out?
Yeah, that's...
I don't buy any of it. I think, I don't know about cheating. I don't want to say that. But I certainly know that when it comes to like trip planning, you can't just swap who the ticket is for. No, you can't just, no, there's no way. And it's like, there's so many elements to this. She's talking about how they have four kids at home. She's saying, I have a job. I can't just go. Is the implication that he doesn't have a job?
I mean, it does sound like that.
Right?
So, yeah. So assuming if he was like a stay-at-home father, does that mean also now she's also working full-time and now having to take over the responsibilities that he normally takes care of with no planning and no the warning?
Of a 5-day cruise?
Mm-hmm.
And like people are also thinking, okay, well, maybe the dad is in on whatever lies this is, because there was a call from the dad.
Right.
So is this something that he's planned? Like, I just don't buy the spur of the moment 5-day cruise thing. Even if you wanted to have that happen, like, even if you wanted to have that happen, one, the cruise is not going to allow for that. Like, it's they're always so you prep so ahead of time. There's like so much paperwork, especially if it's out of the country. There's no way that you make that happen like in a couple hours. I just don't buy that. And then, on top of that, to do that to your partner.
Yeah.
I can't.
Who clearly has planned something. She bought a cake.
She has a whole thing. Amazon box full of party decorations. Like, to leave your partner with your four kids to go on a surprise 5-day cruise. I don't even like springing like a local event on my wife. Like, I wouldn't do that. Like, if somebody wanted me to go out, but like she's had a hard day, or like or maybe, you know, something later in the week. Like, I don't like just out of nowhere saying, hey, I'm going to do this thing.
Yeah.
Let alone. Here,
a literal example. I'm going to a thing tonight where my wife's going to have to do bedtime with the kids alone. And I asked her last week. I asked her 3 days ago. I asked her yesterday. And this morning I already confirmed. I was like, I just want to make sure. And it's not, I'm not asking permission.
Right.
Right. It's not like the same way that she doesn't ask me permission to do things. I'm like, I'm concerned. I'm always like, I want to make sure. I need it to be clear that this thing I'm going to, I was like, I don't want to dox myself of where I'm going to be at for something that's going to, a show that's going to come out 4 days after I'm at this thing. Anyways, I'm not like saying, like, hey, like, well, I'm going to do this thing, wherever. It's just because I care about her. I care about her well-being. I'm like, I want to make sure this isn't the most important thing in the world. If this is at all a hindrance to you, I don't need to go. In part, often I'm looking for an excuse not to go.
To be fair.
Like, tell me, please tell me you need me not to go. And I am happy to just shut it down, right? And so... But that's kind of, I don't think people have to be to that extreme, but I do think just being in a, it's not when you are in a marriage, right? Especially, like I said, when you bring kids into it, you do have to, you don't just get to worry about yourself anymore.
Right.
There are other aspects of things you have to keep in mind. You have to be considering all the logistics of what goes into your choices affect more than just you.
Yeah. I can't imagine if that was me. Like, getting ready for someone's birthday and them saying, oh, hey, I just found out that there's a cruise for three people and he's not taking her. I don't even know that she was invited.
Right. Well, of course not. Yeah. She has to watch the kids.
But again, that leads to the idea that, like, is there someone else? Because he knows she can't go if he goes. And so, like, I just can't imagine prepping for this birthday, having ordered stuff, and my partner being like, hey, so I'm going to go ahead and F off for 5 days. Good luck. I don't know what's going on for you or how you're going to accomplish that, but I'm literally going to be out of the country within hours. What? What are
depending
you
on depending on how shitty he actually is, which it sounds like he's kind of shitty, it might be a vacation for her as well.
Not with four kids, it's not.
No, I'm joking.
Well, I don't know. Maybe he doesn't help. I mean,
maybe it's like he's like a fifth kid, so it's like.
I just was so sad, and when she was like, "Well, I can't go. I have a job, and I have this, that, right. and the other thing." It's like, wait, what? What is he doing? What does he do during the day?
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, even if it was he was a stay-at-home dad, his job would be the kids. Like,
right.
So that doesn't make sense either.
Or he does have a job, but clearly if he had planned it out, he already asked for the time off. He already did. You know, it's possible that he already got everything approved.
But it's one or the other, right? Either he has no job or he had it pre-approved. Because it's not he's getting 5 days off the day of.
Which leads into the whole him knowing about it ahead of time. And he's like, I can't, I know. It's also like, it's a cognizance that you know you're doing something shitty to your partner. And so it's like, all right, how do I do this shitty thing where it looks like I'm the victim? I didn't know he was going to give me these. And we can't just let these tickets go to, I'd be rude if I didn't go cheat on you for 5 days in Mexico.
It puts pressure on the person. Like, it makes them deny the request. It makes them be the bad guy.
She has to say no to it as opposed to,
And it's a ticking clock, too, where she doesn't really have time to think about it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and it's his birthday. Right. So, like, these are all things that I think, if you were going to lie about it, would be in your favor. To say, like, oh, it's my birthday. Do you mind? Do you care? It is my birthday. And, like, they're free cruise tickets.
How do
we
set all these things up? Yeah.
Yeah, it sets them up for success. And, like, there are so many times that I'll hear a story from someone, not involving cruises, but where guys will clearly have set the stage for something. And I'm like, wait a second. How did that happen though? That I feel like that's not a coincidence because, you know, A, B, and C had to be in place for this to ever happen. And
how do you get that good at lying, by the way?
I'm like
some people are just, I am the one of the reasons my mom called me a Vulcan growing up was because I was undiagnosed autistic. And the way I processed emotion was very Vulcan. I was like, that doesn't make any sense. That's not logical.
That's not logical to me.
Even as like an 8-year-old, I was like, no, I think this is actually what we should be doing. This makes more logical sense. Yes, I don't think that's any. But also the fact that Vulcans they can't lie. And it was always funny because every time I tried lying, it was it's to this day, my wife, it's a running joke. I've talked about this, I think, on the podcast before, where even like if I'll lie about something that's beneficial and that I'm a little better at that one. But if I try to lie about something like, I don't lie about a lot because I'm so shitty at it that I know it's going to be, I'm going to get caught. But even if it'll be something inconsequential, she'll be like, what actually happened? I don't know. How do people get so good? Like, there has to be, because some people are just naturally great liars.
I think also though, like how much do you care about hurting the other person and how much empathy do you have? Because I think it makes it a lot easier. If you do not care that you're lying, if you don't care that you're harming somebody, like my thing is I don't like lying. I don't like being deceitful because I know the effect it has on somebody else. But like if you don't care.
That kind of goes back to what I said. It's easier to lie when it's for a good reason.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
like I'm hiding a surprise gift or something because of the fact that it's not. Yeah, you're right.
It's like they're like, I don't care how you feel about this. I want to get what I want. So I'm going to do.
Right.
I'm going to lie now. I'm going to put you in a time crunch. I hate the fact that there's like this really short timetable because like had he asked, you know, a couple days before, she would be like, well, let me think about it. No, I don't know if I can do that. It's like demanding a quick answer. And most people don't want to be the a-hole. Like, and good liars will set up situations in which you kind of look bad if you don't let me do this.
Right.
You're kind of the bad guy if you take this.
And he might technically be telling the truth. His dad did call him that morning and say, hey, I have these tickets. He's just leaving out he's omitting live omission that they'd already discussed this and planned it. And he'd gotten his time off of work and updated his passport. And
there might be a lady going.
There might be somebody else going. And it's also, it's not like, oh, I have these three extra tickets. are you telling me that three random people, whoever you're bringing on this, are able to last second get on a cruise to Mexico for 5 days mm-hmm. with no previous warning, and mm-hmm. that all three of you were able to do that? I don't know.
Can I tell you one of the dumbest lies I ever heard?
Please do.
There was this was like a casual acquaintance. Yep. And there was a she was talking about her boyfriend at the time. Well, they weren't together when we were talking, but they had been together. Mm-hmm. There was this girl online. I don't know what some type of influencer, like more of a model of sorts, but mm-hmm. probably in her lingerie, that type of scenario. Mm-hmm. That's what her photos were. And he was apparently a fan of this person and would mm-hmm. send money to this person because he was supporting her in a bad economy. This is what he told her.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, first of all, that alone, red flag. Yeah. Red flag. So yeah. I'm like, okay, girl. Glad I didn't know this person. Like, glad I wasn't here for these stories because I would have been just waving flags this whole time. But they were like out somewhere and they quote unquote ran into this girl who just happened to be in town. And like he wanted to go up to her and talk with her. And I was like, I do not believe that this is the way that this went. Like, I don't know if the girl was involved in this. Mm-hmm. I don't know if this guy was stalking this girl's socials to find her somewhere. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But like, what are the odds that someone that doesn't live near you, that you don't know, you would randomly out and about at a random place run into this person? It's not like a famous person. This is like, maybe it probably had a big following, but not a famous person. I'm like, girl, I don't know how to tell you this, but I fear your ex may have been involved in something nefarious with this situation. Like,
or he at least he wanted it. It might have been one way. It might have been him.
Well, for sure.
Well,
he might have. I mean, God, he could have literally stalked her socials and known where she was at that time. But like this person that you happen to be obsessed with, you're happening to run into. I do not buy that at all. And that's how he like played it off. Like, oh, whoopsie. What are the chances? Should we go say hi? She's like, no. You crazy person.
Yeah.
I don't even like that you are.
I've sent her $10,000 so far. I think we should say hi.
I mean, we're basically supporting her.
Yeah. I spend more on her than I do on our relationship.
I mean, I don't know if this was a setup encounter that he paid for. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I just know I don't buy it. I mean, she could have been innocent in that and probably was. Mm-hmm. But this
she posts in her stories like going to this restaurant tonight
that's what I mean.
Or something.
Yes, that's what I think. Because I was like, it's astronomical, the odds.
Yeah.
Right?
When you consider the other, like all the information. Yeah.
She didn't live there. He was obsessed with her. He was supporting her financially, allegedly, because of the economy, not because of anything nefarious. Mm-hmm. You got to help people out in desperate times. Like, the boldness with which certain men like to lie is insane.
I wonder if part of it is also they're convincing themselves that the lie is true. Does that make sense? Like, he's like, if you repeat it enough to yourself, like, I feel like some of the best liars do believe their own book. Because I know my father, who I believe based on, I don't want to posthumously, whatever you say the word, diagnose somebody with a disorder. But I'm fairly positive my father was a clinical narcissist based on the actual DSM-5 standard for it. Mm-hmm. And he, part of his thing was that he would create these stories. And I truly believe that he bought into them, like in a weird way where he was just like, oh, no, this is real because I said it's real. And if you repeat the lie enough times, you're like, I think this is a real story. This actually happened to me.
Well, it's interesting. I have one of my aunts is a psychologist, like a very, like mm-hmm. it has a doctorate, is very, very well respected.
How are we related?
No, but she's amazing. But I don't remember how we got on the topic of narcissism. I'm sure I was talking about some guy mm-hmm. on the internet or something. And she talks about that sometimes like narcissists, basically like their lies and everything becomes like this web. And mm-hmm. it's like impossible for them because it's like this, everything's a lie almost, you know, like mm-hmm. it's these, some of the lies, they know that they're lying. Some of the lies are the lies that they feel about themselves. Mm-hmm. Like they believe they're in the right when they do mm-hmm. things. You know what I mean? So it's like, it mm-hmm. is a lie technically, but is mm-hmm. it a lie to them? You know, it's up for debate, but that there's mm-hmm. so many lies interwoven together throughout mm-hmm. their time because they're rarely being direct and truthful that like they can't even pull them apart to identify like what the lie is. Like mm-hmm. it's just, it's a mess to them. It's like this gray area of all mm-hmm. these different lies. So even if you could like identify like, well, that was a lie, it would be interconnected to so many different things. Like, well, mm-hmm. maybe that wasn't 100% truthful, but I needed this to happen because my truth is more important and what I need mm-hmm. supersedes the truth in a way that like they'll still think they're in the right and that they're still truthful. Like mm-hmm. I'm not wrong for lying to you. Mm-hmm. I think I'm not an expert, but I certainly think a lot of these men know that they're lying. I certainly mm-hmm. think they're aware that like this did not happen or this is untrue, but I think they think their needs supersede that. Like, well, I need to have this happen and I want mm-hmm. this. And so maybe I have to fudge the details a little bit, but mm-hmm. like I want this to happen and I deserve this. So I mm-hmm. should have this. So who cares about the little details to get mm-hmm. what I deserve? Like I think it stems from that entitlement. Mm-hmm.
And I do think sometimes I think we overuse the term narcissism to encounter a lot of, because I think a lot of times we use it for someone that's just a fucking asshole. You know what I mean? Like, he's just like, you're self-centered. It's, you know, it's egotistical, which can be related.
Well, recognizing that someone is, mm-hmm. can be narcissistic. Like mm-hmm. almost every abusive person, if not every abusive person, has narcissistic traits because mm-hmm. it takes a level of, even if you're not a diagnosed narcissist, it takes a level of narcissism mm-hmm. to treat people mm-hmm. that way, right? To have mm-hmm. that little empathy for people you are telling that you love. So mm-hmm. I think a lot of people are narcissistic, have narcissistic mm-hmm. traits without being full-blown narcissists. Mm-hmm. And certainly this guy is showing a very low level of empathy at the very least for his wife. And yeah, I used to get caught up, much to your point, about things mm-hmm. like, you know, that's a lie, right? Like you have to know that that's not true. To. That's a detail. Mm-hmm. It happened or mm-hmm. it didn't, and it didn't, but you mm-hmm. keep saying it did. So somewhere in your mm-hmm. heart, like, you know that that's, and my aunt was like, they're so wrapped up in their own bullshit a lot of the times mm-hmm. that like they can't address the singular thing and they'll, mm-hmm. it's like, it's too woven into their mm-hmm. identity and this world that they've built to be able mm-hmm. to pull it out and say, well, no, that was a lie. You're like, well, but.
I think people don't realize it's a lie because I think people think there's only, oh, that doesn't happen to me either. It happens to all of us. Everybody mm-hmm. does this where you retell a story enough times, like especially like family lore.
Sure, right? That's where, a good one. Or impressions.
After you've told it, something. Yeah. But like you have these stories that after you've told them 100 times over 20 mm-hmm. years, it might be vaguely the same story, mm-hmm. but if you had a recording of how it was told 20 years previously, guarantee you 90% of the details have changed. The wording has changed. The where you were might have changed. Like there's all mm-hmm. these little things that change about it and you don't even realize it because it's very slow, right? And that's the idea. Like you tell a lie enough times, it becomes reality. I do it. One of my, the weirdest thing is because I teach through story. Mm-hmm. My lectures, a lot of my lectures are very much right. I'll create a story or a real story that happened to me, but I figure out ways to weave in theory and the mm-hmm. stuff we're talking about in class into the story so that students will remember the story even if they don't realize they're learning concepts from my class, right? And there's a whole method behind that. Since they're real stories I'm using, there have definitely been details where I'll change because I'm trying to get them to understand mm-hmm. the way that communication functions in this. I'm trying to get people to understand X, Y, and Z. And so I'll change that little thing. And then, you know, I've been teaching for 20 years, literally 20 years, back to my example. There are some stories in my lectures. I was thinking about this just recently because I'm revising my videos for my classes. And I was like, I don't remember what was real in this story. Like it's my memory is so like, and I already have a bad memory, but you know, repeat it enough times. I'm like, I have a vivid memory of what this story is as I tell it in my class. Mm-hmm. But that's just how, you know, our brains are amazing at doing that. And so anyways, mm-hmm. that's a very specific example, but I think we all do that with inconsequential things that don't harm other people.
I feel like that's a good point though, because I mm-hmm. think taking that idea, so you talked about how you're telling a story and then the details shift a little bit because maybe you're trying to teach a different theme or concept, whatever. Mm-hmm. I feel like people who are mm-hmm. lying or manipulative
liar
people,
faces.
Yeah. Liar, pants on fires do that all the time. And what they're mm-hmm. altering is, well, I want this thing. Like, I need mm-hmm. to change this story a little bit because I want to go on a trip. Like, if they really got down to it, I think 99% of people would have to admit to themselves they lied about it, right? Mm-hmm. But I think they frame it in that way in their own minds a lot of times. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, we talked about this in the pre-show. Mm-hmm. The Patreon pre-show, which is that like bad people, like evil villains don't see themselves as evil villains, right? They mm-hmm. feel justified. And I think a lot of times you have to feel justified in some way, even if it's that like, I should get what I want and I don't care what other people think, or I don't care mm-hmm. who I hurt. You have to somehow feel justified to do these things to people repeatedly. Like mm-hmm. if you are consistently a liar, for example. And so like, I think they justify themselves in a similar way to what you're saying, but in a nefarious version, which is like, mm-hmm. okay, I have this story, but I want you to think good things of me, feel pressured and let me go. I think you bring out an excellent point, which is like, there are so many people who have just enough facts. Mm-hmm. to fudge things, or even just that maybe mm-hmm. Their perception of themselves is different. Like I've noticed mm-hmm. that a lot with people where like, I'll catch people doing what I think is lying, you know, like that's not totally honest, but it's like, well, that's how they wanted to see themselves in that story, which mm-hmm. is really interesting. It's like, you see it online a lot where they'll tell a story and you're like, do you know that you're the bad guy in that story? Like right. That's not coming mm-hmm. off well for you.
This is the exact same thing where I think this is why Red Pill and Manosphere podcasts are so popular mm-hmm. is because they also give pseudo scientific weaponized mental health talk, mm-hmm. Therapy speak, mm-hmm. And they give them the weapons to justify why what they're doing is not bad.
Right.
And if you can justify that to yourself, then you can justify making that lie. You can justify, even if you're not an evil person, you're like, well, the podcast guy, there's one the other day, I have it saved somewhere, where he was like, I say this and people don't realize I'm trying to save marriages. Like if you had a 50-year marriage and you cheated twice, you did a pretty good job at staying monogamous.
It's only two times.
Wow. It's like, okay, wow. You did a really, you were, I mean, percentage-wise, how many days did you not cheat? Right? That's like 0.001 days you cheated. Right? That's
not, like, let's go off of the average here. Right. Come on.
And I was watching this, and the people listening is like,
yeah.
That's a great, and so the people, and then the people obviously that are hearing that are like, oh man, okay, well, I did only cheat once. I'm a pretty good monogamist. I mean, really, at this point, it would be mean for me to let her know that I cheated on her because, like, that was 10 years ago. We've moved on.
That one kills me too. That like mm-hmm. lights a fire under me because that's so often what people will say mm-hmm. is like mm-hmm. they'll do something terrible. Not just cheating. It could be a number of
right.
things.
Right.
And they're like, well, it already happened. And, mm-hmm. you know, the only thing that's going to happen from this is she's going to get hurt. Mm-hmm. If I tell
really,
her,
I'm protecting her.
Yeah, it's already mm-hmm. done, and I'm not going to keep mm-hmm. doing whatever the thing was. It was a one-time thing, maybe. So, what's the point? And it's like you don't have the right to hold the truth from mm-hmm. them. That's mm-hmm. the point. you don't have the right to withhold information like that, especially when they know it's information that would change their relationship. That's why they don't want to say. And it's like, that's not fair. That's not your right. If you have an agreement with someone for whatever it is, whatever, like whether it's not cheating or not doing a certain thing, not betraying them in some way, you know, it could be they took money, whatever. If you break that, you have to tell that person, like, sorry, that's the deal. That's the arrangement. That's the agreement. Like, you don't have the right to just be like, but they might get upset. So.
Right. Well, somebody wrote in a comment section about, once again, another video.
Oh, God.
I don't remember what the video was, but they were like, and nowadays, I think it was the same video. I think this is where that's why it's in my head. But they were like, and nowadays, like, I mean, what even is, like, people will consider anything cheating. Like it could be all sorts of things could be cheating. And I was like, here's the thing what they're referring to is like, there'll be people that will be like, well, my husband watched pornography, so he was cheating on me, or my husband did, or my wife did, she flirted with another guy, so that was cheating on me. Like it'll be the issue is not the action. The issue is you need to have communication with your partner and establish what is, you need to understand what that is. Like if I walked on my wife watching porn, I wouldn't be like, it's over. We're done. Right. That wouldn't, like, I wouldn't consider that to be her having an affair with that. But like, if we had established that pornography is a no-go in our relationship, like I think that's not, from my perspective, that's not a big deal, but some people it is. And if you're with somebody, theoretically, especially if it's a long-term relationship, you have to have mutual understanding of what those things are before you even get in a relationship. Like there's a video I'm responding. I'm going to release it later this week about this guy that says, if you don't unfollow all of your exes on social media, which I'm talking about, I go over how it's clearly a control mechanism to go over all those things in the video. But in his perspective, if you don't unfollow all your exes, then you're clearly, the relationship is over. That's not a serious relationship, which I think is such bullshit. It's a lot. I have a lot to say about that topic that goes in there. But at the end of the day, though, as much as I think that's complete and utter bullshit, if you both going into your relationship mutually agree that that is something you both value, because this is not a gendered thing. I know women that feel the same way and it would probably share the same opinion. You need to establish that though through communication, and that's what people don't get. It's like, well, I don't think that's bad. Yeah, fucking talk about it then. Don't just spring it on them and be like, you didn't unfollow that person you dated 5 years ago that you actually had a really good breakup with, and it just didn't work out romantically, but they were a good person that you still want to, you're like, well, fuck it, it's over, right? And so it's like, you never talked about that, though. We never had that conversation, but people don't talk about these things.
You are 100% right. Like, that is such a good point, because that's the thing to me is the communication element, because guys will say stuff like that. I mean, women will, non-binary, every gender can do this. But like, I see it a lot, like with Manosphere content, which is like this idea of, well, I don't see a problem with it. What's the big deal? And it comes down to, number one, do you know that she has a problem with it? Have you talked about it? And if you have this strong belief, which often they'll come out like with these really strong beliefs, like, I should be able to sleep with whoever I want, but she has to stay monogamous, whatever bullshit they're saying. It's like, did you say that to her at the start? And they almost never do. Like, they'll have these huge ideas. It's like, okay, then be honest when you get with her. If you expect her to be a, you know, trad wife at home, and you expect her to not have male friends, okay, I have problems with that, but that's a different conversation. Did you tell her that when you got with her? No, you usually don't. If you want to be that way, fine, be upfront. If you're controlling, be upfront. If you think that this is all justified, which they always say, that this, there's nothing wrong with the way that they act, then tell her when you're dating her so she knows what she's getting into. If it's not, it's manipulation.
Yeah, and I said this in the video that I'm releasing too, but it's rarely one thing.
Right, of course.
Right? We all have one fucking weird thing for whatever reason. It could be trauma. It could be we're just weird. It could be like someone told us something once and it really landed hard, whatever. But if it was like one, even the example from the video of like, you're following your ex, if that's sure. it, but you're also like this loving, caring person, mm-hmm. you don't try to control anything else about, like, it's just that one weird hangup you have. Mm-hmm. You can work through that. I'm not saying it's okay. I'm saying I think you can still get through that. But it's usually also the people saying you got to unfollow. It's like, well, also you got to change how you're dressed now that you're with me. Mm-hmm. You also can't hang out with your friends anymore because you're with me. Mm-hmm. You can't have X, Y, and Z because you're with me. You also you can't post on social media anymore. You're with me. It's mm-hmm. all of the. It's usually a web of things that are meant to cage you into their property, mm-hmm. right? It's almost never just the one thing. And I think people get so caught up mm-hmm. when you critique. It's happened to both of us, I'm sure, when we critique something going on. And mm-hmm. they're like, well, I mean, I could see a reason. Yeah, there's always an exception right. to every rule where one weird or even controlling, I wouldn't go so far as saying abusive things, but like
sure.
where it's like on the verge, where it's in that weird, like mm-hmm. the nebulous thing. You can have a weird thing. Mm-hmm. We don't see the whole relationship. What we're pointing at are things to be aware of. I had someone message me the other day. It was like such a beautiful message where she said, hey, I've been following you for 3 years. I've never messaged you before, but I just want to let you know 3 years ago, I saw one of your videos. I started watching your videos and I started noticing that the things you were talking about was exactly the relationship I was in. And I just assumed that was what relationships were. Mm-hmm. We broke up. I'm with someone who loves me now. We're in a great relationship now. It's because if nobody's talking about it, then you're able to kind of gaslight yourself in addition to them probably gaslighting you and telling you mm-hmm. that you're overreacting and this is normal and this is not, you're blowing this out of proportion. You do it to yourself because you don't want to be the bad person. You don't want to be the you want to be the cool girl, right? Or the cool guy, right? Mm-hmm. You want to be, oh, I'm chill with those sort of things. Yeah, I know this feels weird, but no, it's fine. It's fine because I love you.
I think too, like looking for the signs that person knows how you feel. Like mm-hmm. they often will hide things, right? They will be dishonest. They will wait until later. Like, mm-hmm. like they'll do the bait and switch. Like to your point, the control behaviors don't start immediately. Like when you're dating, right. they're not controlling right. you like
they're
that.
They're small and they slowly grow into this thing. Yeah.
It's the frog in the pot of water kind of situation. Mm-hmm. I think it's important to recognize, like, clearly he knows that shit would be terrible for you. Like you have mm-hmm. to think logically, like in this case, like, do you think he knows that leaving you for 5 days completely on a whim would really mm-hmm. be harmful to you? Does he know how it would affect your schedule? Does he know how much extra work that would be for you? Mm-hmm. Like, let's, even if he's not lying, which like, I think he's lying, yeah. but even if he wasn't, it's like, they'll show you that they know that you won't mm-hmm. like it. Even if they mm-hmm. think they're right, they'll, mm-hmm. they'll be deceptive. They'll hide it from you. You know, they'll hide stuff on their phone because they know you do not like that. So, mm-hmm. if they know you don't like it and they do it anyways, that is intent. That is deception. Right. That is malicious. Mm-hmm. So really recognizing like, no, they get – because I think there are so many times that guys online in particular and then guys who consume that media will be like, whoa, you know, like I didn't know this was bad. Like I don't see why mm-hmm. this is a problem. And yet they'll show you behaviors that show like – hiding, like people who have nothing to hide, hide mm-hmm. nothing. And I think mm-hmm. that's important to recognize because I would believe stuff too. Like, oh, well, I guess it's just his birthday. And like, you know, I don't want to be the one to not let him have this amazing experience. I can pick up the slack. Mm-hmm. Just take a pause and be like, does he know how much weight this is on you? Does he know how this mm-hmm. affects you? Does he showcase that he's aware of what he's doing and that you would have a problem with it? Like mm-hmm. stuff, are they being flirtatious in ways that they know you don't like? Like they'll hide that. They know that mm-hmm. it bothers you. They know that it has a negative impact on you and they do it anyways. And I think that's what's important is like recognizing, oh no, this is on purpose. Mm-hmm. This is with intent. And this mm-hmm. shows that they do not care how I feel about something. That's mm-hmm. important. Like even if they don't agree with it, it really doesn't matter if you care about it. And mm-hmm. they still do it anyways. That's what matters. And then you really need to reflect, like, are you compatible at that point? Because some people just have things that are personal to them that maybe they will find someone that's cool with it. Like, but if somebody does not respect, like, whatever, whether it's a boundary that you have, whether it's you have trauma, like, whatever's going on, if someone does not respect the ways that you want to show up and be supported in a relationship, then you shouldn't be in a relationship with them. Like, you deserve better, and, like, they shouldn't be with you either.
Well, it's kind of like with it's the ability to have these kind of secrets is all you can, like, see. Eventually, when you look back, you can usually see all the signs that they were hiding stuff too. Like in I look at my own relationship where, you know, I think I'm probably logged into my email on my wife's computer right now, right? Like, there's no, she knows all my passwords. She knows. Is she looking through my files? Is she looking through my stuff? No, because we have trust, right? There's not like this, there's no need to do it. But also, I don't care that she has access because there's nothing there to find.
Right.
I wouldn't be hiding correspondence about a trip, about finding my passport, about all these kind of things that, like, there's no reason for me to have those things. And also, I will give the caveat that it's easier for me to do that because I'm a bad liar, like, in the sense that, like, I think there's no point. Like, it would come out eventually. Like, there's no point in me having a web of lies. But I think there is a level of, like, where afterwards you can see, oh yeah, he was really secret. Mm-hmm. He wouldn't let me see that. He wouldn't, like, it's like location sharing. But we talked about that a podcast ago. Where the whole, like, my wife can always see where I am. For us, it's if there was an emergency, if there was an earthquake, if our kids needed us or something like that. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we know our kids also like to watch us driving home when we're coming from somewhere. And so it's like, but it's all like, if I was hiding something, like, even though she probably looks at it once every 3 months, but the fact is, like, if I was hiding something, I probably wouldn't want her to have that, right? If I was visiting someone, if I was going on dates, if I was doing something behind the scenes, I probably would find a way to turn that off without her knowing, or you know, doing all sorts of, like, little kind of secretive things that afterwards you'd be like, oh yeah, he did turn off his tracking. He did change his password to that account. He did start doing X, Y, and Z. But you only do those things if you don't really have trust in your relationship. Not saying you have to, like, but people have accounts like that. Like, my business account, I don't think my wife knows the password to my business account because it's a random jumble of letters that I don't even know. But, like, she could get access to it by going on my computer if she wanted to. Anyhow.
I think, like, reminding people that someone not caring how you feel about something is a problem. Mm-hmm. Like, even on the smaller scale of things, because I feel like these little things happen and then something huge happens and then you recognize, oh yeah, there were these little things that happened that made me feel bad or made me question things. Like, if someone is consistently not caring about how you feel about things, even if they say it's not important, like, that's a problem, and that's enough to have a conversation, and, like, you should be respected. And on the other side of things, like, for these guys who, like, want to say, I should be able to do what I want, and, like, I should be able to look at, you know, everybody's photos and like photos and flirt with girls online. Like, what's the problem? I'm the man. It's like, okay, well, then find somebody who's down for that. If you think that's all good, cool. Great. Don't agree, but okay. Why do you consistently pair with women that you're betraying? Like, why can't you find someone who's also like that, who also agrees with that? It's like, because it's about lack of respect. It's about lack of empathy. It's about dominance. So much of it is, I want to have power over you. Like, I'll say this very quickly. I know we're towards the end and I'm bringing up new shit, but have you seen all those videos of the guys on the platforms at the clubs?
No.
You haven't seen this?
No.
You know, like, the platforms, like the stages?
Yeah.
So back in the day, back in our day, when you'd go, like, you know, usually people who were dancing, predominantly women, but people who were dancing would be on those having a good time.
Yeah.
There is a new club culture going on where, like, men dominate all of the stages. They are not dancing. They're maybe, like, nodding their heads and drinking and just, like, taking up that space. And there's a lot of people who are like, oh, they want to be women so bad. Like, they want to have the privileges of being a woman. Like, you know, like, but to me, it's like, I feel we're getting to a place of like this dominance thing where it's like, yeah. No, you don't get that. You women don't get the stage anymore. Like, I'm going to stand here, not even to dance, which is normally what it was for, was to like elevate, like as a stage to elevate yourself to like have a good time. That's why people did it. And a lot of women, I know I used to dance on those because I didn't want to be touched. And it was a good way to like put myself out of being touched so much. But like you have all these men just like staring down at women, like literally you'll have like 20 guys, like bros.
Yeah, they're treating it like it's a literal meat market where they're like just like looking for the next prey. Yeah.
But it to me, it feels like my perception of that is like a dominance issue where it's like, I'm going to take that. You know, and actually, why should you get to do it? Why should you get the stage? I'm going to take it. I don't actually want it because I'm not dancing. I'm clearly not using it for its purpose, but this is mine and that's what I want to do. And the you know, you hear like the cruelty is the point, but it's like the dominance is the point. The taking is the point. This is mine is the point. And I think that's true for a lot of these men in their relationships where it's like, no, I just want you to feel small. I just want to show you I get everything and you don't. And I get to, you know, I get to go on this trip and last minute, which is something you could never in a million years do. Which actually is the reason it's possible because I know you can't. He knew that she couldn't go with him. Otherwise, he wouldn't have done it. He couldn't have accomplished it. He already knows that the responsibility is on her to take care of these four kids while still doing that full job. And what are you going to do about it?
Right.
And I think that's a lot of their attitudes. And like, I feel like so much of what they do is for the sake of that because men could pair with women. Heterosexual men could pair with or like men who like women could pair with women who like men. I'm trying to be careful here.
Yeah.
Who both agree, like, hey, we can flirt with other people. Or like we can like other people's photos, or we can do this, or if it's the controlled side of it, we can both not talk to our exes and we can both not have social media. We can both do that. But they don't. They don't do that. They want to pair with someone that they control and they get to do what they want.
And they can shape them into this thing that they want as opposed to pairing with the whole person that they actually – because it's not the person that they are trying to be with.
It's the dominance.
It's the dominance. It's that we need to control them and turn them into something for me to dominate.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think that's – and I think my goal is that – and I think – clearly your goal, because all we do is talk about these things online, is to recognize the smaller scale things. I mean, the cruise is egregious, certainly. But I'm sure that's not the first time he's put her on the back burner. He's done something for himself. He's not looked at the impact of his actions. My God, I hope he's not cheating. That's the general consensus. But if we can see these smaller things, and any gender can start to say, you know what, this made me feel bad the way that you treated me. And like, regardless of what you're trying to say to me or like what society says, the impact on me is negative. And that's enough for me to voice my disappointment or voice my discomfort, or at least say like, I don't agree with the way that you're treating me. Because if we could deal, if we felt empowered to deal with things on the smaller scale, my hope would be we wouldn't get to the point that like our partners are going on 5-day cruises last minute.
Right. And to your point too, I think about it being kind of this genderless amorphous idea though, I think one of the underlying issues is that so many guys, especially that see probably your, I'm sure your content too, but they see my content that will comment and stuff. They don't understand when I say this is harming men. Right. Yeah. You deserve to be in a relationship with someone who wants the same things that you do. Right, you deserve to be with someone that has the same beliefs about the world as you, even if they're shitty beliefs.
Right.
Find someone that has equally shitty beliefs and
stay
and
shitty.
A shitty relationship with each other. Right, but it's still that you deserve that you quote unquote do deserve that. But it's the idea that you can find somebody who likes that about you, who you can find somebody who actually thinks that's a cool thing that you're into crypto. Right, that there are people there that exist out
there's
there.
Crypto. Yeah, bros?
You can't just, yeah, you can't just like, but when you, you try to force it into somebody, like you try to kind of take this person that you like physically and try to mold who they are personality wise into that thing you've decided you want, that's, you're not, it's not going to end well. You're not going to be happy. She's not going to be happy. And you're just going to be in this, even if you stay together, it's going to be this miserable long-term relationship. But and it's probably not going to get to that point. You're probably going to end up single again, looking for the next victim. To that you try to manipulate into being this other person that they're not.
Yeah, I think understanding what it's about, it, because usually it isn't even about the preference that you're talking about. Usually it is about, I want to dominate, I want to control, I want to have power. And the reason that it comes up with men a lot when we tell these stories and why we see so many videos about it is because, one, the patriarchy and how that shows, you know, dominance within the patriarchy, men dominate women or try to. But also, like, that's, men like to push that narrative. Like, men love to talk about that online, like doing those behaviors. Like, I just saw a video where this guy, like, was trying to force this girl to buy him a drink because basically he had, there had, you could tell it was like a dating bro situation where that was what he was told to do. Like, you have the power if you get, you know, anyways, it's just, we see how this, these ideas, like how they manifest in the real world is a frightening thing. And like starting to recognize, why is this happening actually? Because it isn't just preference. It isn't just like, oh, it's just this, this crazy thing that happened. No, there's a pattern here. There's a belief system. There's a problem. That's it.
All right. I'm with you. It was a good episode.
There we go. Well, thank you everyone for listening. We hope none of your partners are jumping on cruises unplanned. Let us know in the comments your thoughts on the story, because the internet was really heated about it. And other than that, make sure to check out our socials, check out the Patreon. Really do check out the show where Jessica uses the video that's staged, because it is very funny. And then any other than that, Jessica, do we have anything else?
I think we're good to go.
All right, friends.
Bye.
Bye.
Love you.
Love you.